This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. So, a handful of days ago, the great one and I bumped heads because I said the University of North Carolina would be foolish to hire Bill Belichick as their head coach. That would be a mistake because the hoodie will not succeed as a college football coach. And I want you to know that I've come around on that a little bit. I actually think now that the University of North Carolina would be foolish not to hire the hoodie as their head coach. In fact, I think it would be a stupid decision not to get the hoodie rocking the Jordan Jumpman logo and the baby blue up in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I think they'd be foolish not to make that hire. But it is not because I think hoodie will succeed at the college football level. No, my friend, quite the opposite. I think the hoodie will get it handed to him at the college football level. And there's a variety of reasons that I believe that. I gave them to you the other day. Short and sweet. Hoodie's a 72-year-old guy that's going to, for the first time, step into the world of communicating with teenage boys. Communicating with guys in their early 20s the first time. Now, yes, I am sure that Hoodie had a couple of draft picks that came into New England that were young cats. But here's the thing. At New England, Bill Belichick was a dictator, a tyrant. He had full and complete control over everything. And he has said that time and time again. When I was there, it was my way or the metaphorical highway. It's not like that in the college ranks anymore, is it? We literally just had that conversation about the fact that if you're a college football coach, you've got to recruit three times. You got to recruit kids out of high school. You got to recruit kids out of the portal. And you got to recruit kids to stay on your team. Do you think Hoodie is going to suddenly have some philosophical shift that he's going to be able to go look at a wide receiver like Tez was a couple of years ago for North Carolina, that he's going to be able to go look at a kid like that and go, hey, buddy, I super duper like you a lot, and I really would love for you to stay on board with us, whatever you need me to do. That's not the hoodie way. But that's not the reason. That's not the reason that I think North Carolina would be foolish. Here's the reason I think North Carolina would be foolish. 2 years ago, North Carolina put together one of the best assemblages of football talent that college has had on campus in a very long time, and they really didn't do anything with it, like, at all. Last year, pretty good team, didn't really do much with it. This past year, not as good of a team, sans one New England Patriot quarterback Drake May, still a pretty good assemblage of talent, didn't do anything with it. From the coaching perspective, it can't really get much worse. But there's another element of college football, an element of college football that has been discussed at great lengths over the past 2 years. And that element of college football is brand awareness. Now, North Carolina's got something going that's very nice for them. That is a direct connection, not a connection. The lead on the marquee of the Jordan brand. When you think Michael Jordan, you think one Chicago Bulls, two University of North Carolina. It's a nice brand. Nice brand to have attached to you. Branding is as important in the landscape of college football as anything else is. You heard Rick Neuheisel talking about that just mere moments ago in the last segment. Brand awareness is massively important in college football. Look at the University of Colorado. Genuine question. When was the last time that the University of Colorado was a front runner in the attention of the nation? I'm going to submit it was 1990 when the Buffaloes won a national championship. It was 2023 when Deion Sanders showed up on campus. From 1990 to 2023. I'm real bad at math, but I believe that's 33 years. The University of Colorado was not a topic of conversation amongst the collegiate football landscape. Then Deion showed up. And again, I don't think Deion's a great X's and O's coach. You know what I think Deion is? A wonderful celebrity, an outstanding hype machine, and a guy who's done a pretty good job assembling talent on a coaching staff around him. Bill Belichick, it's just a 72-year-old version of what Deion Sanders is for Colorado. Will it have the same outcome? Will Bill Belichick be able to get Travis Hunters to come play there? I don't know. But I'll tell you what else Hoodie can do, and I know Hoodie can do, that would be big. Hey, Lonzo, even if you aren't necessarily super jacked up about playing for a 72-year-old Bill Belichick, would you feel different if, let's say, you as a five-star wide receiver recruit were introduced to new wide receivers coach Julian Edelman? Because I would feel a lot better about that. Would you feel better if you were introduced, not to 72-year-old head coach Bill Belichick, but you were introduced to linebackers coach Teddy Bruschi? Because I would. I'd feel a lot better about it. Would you feel better if Bill Belichick assembled, as Deion Sanders did in Colorado?
Okay, I'm waiting for you to talk about a player. All I see are TV guys, if I'm a young kid.
And?
Okay.
All Deion was a TV guy until he was a coach. Kids care about names. All these guys are names they know. Because the other thing you have to keep in mind, and this is something that I, as an aging man, I'm having to come to grips with. Every time I watch the Carolina Panthers play and J.C. Horn makes a move, I am reminded of the fact that I watched his father, Joe Horn, play NFL football when I was already a grown-up. The kids that are entering the college football landscape, though, they were being born when Bill Belichick was really hitting his stride. They were children when Tom Brady was at his best in New England. They were in high school when Brady won his last Super Bowl as a Buccaneer. They were probably in middle school when he won his last Super Bowl as a Patriot. They know what the Patriots are. They know the Patriots dynasty. They know all these. They know all about what Bill Belichick did in Foxborough, Massachusetts. So their exposure to the Patriots is Teddy Bruschi on TV, Julian Edelman doing podcast, Rob Gronkowski doing Fox NFL News. Could you imagine tight ends coach Rob Gronkowski? He would have every giant, thick-headed, white tight end in America lined up. They would be tight end you that day. Sorry, Miami, backseat. TEU is now UNC. The point here is, Hoodie has access to resources as a pseudo-celebrity and successful NFL head coach that raises UNC's brand awareness through the roof and has the ability to bring onto his coaching staff names, Super Bowl winners as players and coaches. He's got the opportunity to call up those cats and go, yo, Julian, you can still do your podcast and make all that money, but I want you to come be the UNC wide receivers coach. You're telling me that there aren't young wide receivers flocking to play there. Rob Gronkowski, you can still do Fox NFL Sundays, but I want you to come coach tight ends in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. We will fly you out on Saturdays to LA to go do Fox NFL Sunday, but I want you to make UNC TEU. You don't think tight ends around America aren't flocking to go play there? Hey, Teddy Bruschi, you can still do ESPN's Get Up, but I want you to come to Tar Heel Nation, and I want you to make UNC LBU. Immediately. I think Bill Belichick by himself would be an abject and total failure as a college football coach. I think he will get run out of the building by himself. But I thought that about Dion. And the Buffaloes were one bad loss away from competing for a Big 12 title and a playoff spot. And a first round bye with that playoff spot. And that is because of the assembly of talent Deion Sanders built around him, the celebrity talent level that he built around him. Kids are flocking there to play there. They're going to kill the transfer portal. They're going to kill recruiting. I said from the beginning, I don't know if Deion can X and O. What I do know is Deion's going to put together a good assembly of talented kids. Do I think it'll be enough to win Boulder, Colorado, a natty? No, I do not. Because I think even if you put together a hell of a lot of talent, there's still the Alabamas and the Georgias and the Texases out there you got to compete with. But I think we'll have Colorado playing as good of football as that school has played since the early 90s, for sure. The brand awareness that Bill Belichick would bring to Chapel Hill, North Carolina would be foolish if they don't take advantage of that. It is one of the most important aspects of college football, and Bill Belichick can utilize his grasp on the football landscape to do exactly what Deion did at Colorado. North Carolina's got to hire this guy. End of discussion. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you, 844-FANFOMD. That's 844-326-3663 is the number to be a part of the radio program. Text us 71307. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N, Fan, F-A-N. We will read them on the air. Tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. Tweet Lonzo at Lonzo One Word. Tweet everybody up in her at the Fan Upstate. And use the Ray Memorial Hotline. Go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Put it on your digital devices. Search and subscribe to the Fan Upstate. And then hit the rounded rectangular button that says send a voice note. Drop us a 30 to 60 second long voice note. We will clean it up and play them on the show. I am looking for the Armada to become an even larger part of the Rob Brown Show each and every day with the Ray Memorial Hotline. That's why it is there. All right. We talked a little bit earlier in the show about the Simpsons game that took place last night with Monday Night Football. And I will tell you that it was very entertaining to me. It was very entertaining to me, and it was entertaining to me, I think, because by and large, I obviously grew up a fan of The Simpsons. I obviously grew up enjoying The Simpsons. By grew up, I mean in my late teenage and 20s.
I remember watching the first episode of The Simpsons live.
I don't even think born yet.
It was a really long time ago.
Oh, for sure. But you know, I have for years, I've had the Itchy and Scratchy. No Itchy and Scratchy in the show. I think they took Itchy and Scratchy out of The Simpsons, by the way.
I believe so, because of the violence.
Yeah, like Itchy and Scratchy went too far for The Simpsons.
And they like got ripped in half.
Oh yeah, it was brutal.
The blood,
it was brutal.
Stuff like that, yeah.
It was brutal. But Krusty the Clown was out there. Barney was out there. Mo.
Your boy Sideshow Bob.
Sideshow Bob was out there. It was entertaining. And part of the reason it was entertaining was because it allowed the ESPN personalities to kind of have a little fun with it too. Right? Like, to me, we need a bigger emphasis on personality that's not just scream and have hot takes all the time. Like, it's okay to let the people be people. Like, for instance, to start the broadcast, when Mina Kimes, who I adore, Mina Kimes channeled the spirit of Bart Simpson and absolutely got Dan Orlovsky. Mina Kimes walked across the ESPN set claiming she did not know one of the players on the roster, asked Dan Orlovsky, "Do you know who this is?" And he replied by reading the name of Dallas Cowboy legend Hugh Jass. I got to tell you, Zoe, you do that any other day of the week, it's funny. You do that when you're celebrating Bart Simpson and it becomes an iconic moment to the point that, yes, indeed, is now on the soundboard officially. Well done, Mina Kimes.
I hope that thing breaks again.
Well done, Mina Kimes. But they weren't done. Orlovsky got roasted again because they took you behind the scenes to kind of show you a little bit about how the AR tech worked. Effectively, they put Mina Kimes and Dan Orlovsky into Adams Stadium in Springfield, question mark, and made them into Simpsons characters that were in the little universe they created for the Simpsons game. The best part, when they introduced Dan Orlovsky, well known for that time when he was the quarterback of the Lions and he just ran out of the back of the end zone and gave up a safety. When they introduced his character, great one, to him, they had his character standing in the back of the end zone exactly where he ran out. Which, of course, leads to clip number two. Like, I get Orlovsky's on ESPN 8. He's got to be super friendly, but what an absolute dork.
Your joy today is
so high. I told you, I had a blast last night. I had a good time. It was the first time in a while that I watched football and, like, was just having fun. I have fun watching football. I like football. But I get into the football. I really like the football. Last night.
Thank you, Bobby Boucher.
I was just having
football.
I like football. I like football. Last night, I was just like giggling on the couch. And every time they made a joke, I was like, it was great. It was so much fun. And then there was the moment. Well, you know what? We got time. I got one for you. One of my favorite characters on the show. And I think this is something that, because like The Simpsons have this image. But if you watched The Simpsons, you understand that every now and then, The Simpsons actually got serious here and there. One of the best episodes ever was there was an episode where Mo, the owner of Mo's Tavern, of course, Mo was going through it, as Mo goes through it every episode on the show. The reason that Mina Kimes getting Dan Orlovsky by asking him to read the name of Hugh Jass was because one of the longest running gags in The Simpsons, obviously, is Bart calling Mo's Tavern and asking for prank names like I See Wiener, et cetera, et cetera.
It's good to know caller ID has never made it to The Simpsons.
Springfield's a little backwards, you know? So for years, Bart would call Moe's and he'd ask for a fake name and Mo would yell out a name. Is I.C. Wiener here? Got a call for I.C. Wiener. Classic, vintage, highbrow, top-notch, prime-grade comedy. But then every now and then, Mo would go through it, and Bart would call in, and he would be like, hey, is I am handsome there? And Mo would get built back up. It was always nice. So it was nice to see Mo get his moment last night, given the hype speech to the Dallas Cowboys. Let's go!
I was ready to run through a wall for Mo.
Also, they subbed Mo into the game on a play where one of the Bengals safeties had an absolute iconic tackle. And the video is Mo laying down one of the gnarliest NFL plays you've ever seen. Absolute burners on Mo last night. Spectacular stuff. Keep going. How about the moment that I have been building up all morning? I got into the office this morning. I sat down. I wrote the sports flash. And then I start cleaning up the show. I put the show together the night before, but I come in the morning and I kind of outline it and put, all right, I want to talk about this here and that there. And, you know, the boring part of this fun job. And then I saw a clip. I saw a clip last night that I forgot. I'm like, oh, I got to pull a sound for that. And I couldn't figure out what do I have to search to find the clip. I had to enter into my search bar, a search bar that anyone from this company can see what I searched on company property. I had to type in the words Jason Kelce butthole. Those are three words I entered onto my company laptop this morning. Why? Because Jason Kelce decided he was going to drop the Macho Man Randy Savage verbal elbow on Dallas. Now, you got to stick with me. But listen to how long it takes to build up to Jason Kelce's shining moment. Yep. Jason just let them go on and on for 1 minute and 13 seconds before he took the opportunity to drop the same insult on actual real place, Dallas, Texas. I have only one issue with that take. I have only one issue. Jason Kelce, comedic timing, A+. Delivery, A+. All of it, as it has been since he entered the world of broadcasting. Spectacular work from Jason Kelce. I have only one issue. Dallas isn't the butthole of America. Jacksonville, Florida is. That's the only issue I have. He's right. Great timing, great execution, great delivery. George Carlin would be proud of Jason Kelce in that moment. There is just one issue. He's wrong. It's Jacksonville.
I'm so disappointed because you've touted and told me many times about, you know, being unbiased in you know, in media. And as a former Philadelphia Eagle, that's why he's doing this. Because they hate the Cowboys.
Okay. He's still right. Just because it comes from a place of bias doesn't make it wrong. He's absolutely right. I've been to Dallas a couple
times. I wonder
if he
gets in trouble about bias, though.
No. If there was a problem with bias, he wouldn't have got the job in the first place. You know what that guy's going to do. You know what's going to happen if you bring in an iconic Philadelphia Eagle to be a part of the show. He's going to drop bombs on D.C., on Dallas, and on New York. You know it's going to happen. By the way, you got to give the guy credit because he goes out every one of those games and he hangs out with the fans and he spends time with them and he goes out to the tailgate and he parties. It's great. I think he does a good job. But yes, I think it is I think it's a good take. I thought the execution was great. The delivery was great. It was A+ comedic work there from Jason Kelce with the issue of he's wrong. Jacksonville's the butthole of America. It's the worst place. I've been to Dallas. Dallas is all right. It's not a bad city. It's an all right city. It's got some good spots. It's got good nightlife. Great music in Dallas, Texas. No doubt about it. Food leaves a little to be desired. Food could be better. But, I promise you.
Is the food better in Jacksonville?
God, no. Nothing's better in Jacksonville. Not nothing. There is
not
four
even women?
Blocks.
I mean,
no,
there's
no
a beach.
No, because the handful of attractive women in Jacksonville are sleeping with their gym trainer. Ask me how I know. All right. Even the women are terrible in Jacksonville. I'm like Charles Barkley to San Antonio. That's me to Jacksonville. I will never apologize to Jacksonville, Florida. Never. Your city stinks. Your football teams stink. There is three blocks of Jacksonville that is worth going to. It's Jacksonville Beach. And the only reason that's worth going to is because it's cheap to get drunk and forget you're in Jacksonville because that city sucks. It sucks the life out of you. The will to live is eliminated in Jacksonville. I was there 6 months, and it feels like I was there for an eternity of pain and suffering. Jacksonville sucks. Sorry, Jason Kelsey.
I don't think I hate anything as much as you hate Jacksonville.
Probably not, to keep it a buck with you. You probably don't. There's like maybe the devil himself is about as close as you're going to get to how much I dislike the city of Jacksonville. That place is booty cheeks.
At least I know where he lives, apparently.
In Jacksonville.
Yes.
Dead center of downtown. The most corporate, soul-crushing, concrete jungle. I would rather live in the heart of Times Square for the rest of human civilization than spend 10 minutes in downtown Jacksonville, Florida. If you elect to live in Jacksonville, I question your mental capacity as a human. Sports flash.
Now for something completely different. Ja'Marr Chase caught 177 of Joe Burrow's 369 passing yards and two of his three touchdown passes as the Bengals knocked off the Cowboys 27-20 last night. Former South Carolina Gamecock Rico Dowdle turned in 131 rushing yards for the Cowboys in the losing effort as the Cowboys fell to 1-6 at home. That's not good. It's not. The finalists for the Heisman Trophy were named last night. Oregon quarterback Dylan Gabriel, Colorado's Travis Hunter winner, Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty, and Miami quarterback Cam Ward will all be in New York. The award will be handed to one of the four this Saturday night, probably Travis Hunter. Tune in Saturday at 11:30 a.m. as Furman Paladins take on the South Carolina State Bulldogs. It's Furman versus South Carolina State. Right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball, the Fan, Upstate.